anoint her with your presence, anoint your word. And let it bring change in her and change in us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, today's date is June 16th, 2022. And this is part of the Renewing of the Mind series. Why? Because it's a big subject.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Most of y'all know when I get up here, it's like I'm in like a little petri dish. It's like, okay, let's see where she's going today for me. But anyway.
Keep us on our toes, Jane. Keep us on our toes.
But this is the most important section of this teaching because we've already been through shutting up the enemy. It is written. And casting down imaginations and think on these things. And the main idea of the whole teaching is the warfare that goes on in your mind. And for hopefully if I teach this to you, it'll help me. Let's just be blunt. So just for sake of reviews, because I know some of y'all weren't here. We have a battle in our head that has a bunch of things going on. And we have to make sure that we cull through that and cast down the bad imaginations and throw out the things that attack faith and attack our inner peace and make sure that we throw out the things that are antagonistic to the Spirit of God that's within us. Our preparation is to make sure that we know the word as much as we can and get the ammunition that we need for our battle. It's good to start memorizing scriptures that you have it. I know the scriptures, but a lot of times I don't know the reference. So now I'm starting to build, like Philippians 3:14, I think. Anyway, I won't go into that. But anyway, I'm starting to build the word with the reference. And anyway, I just get nervous up here. When I get nervous, I just get all frustrated and whatnot. So I'll pray for myself. Dear Jesus, you know. You know my heart. You know my battles. You know the things that I face. And I ask that the word that you placed on my heart comes through to the body that your name might be glorified in the name of Jesus. I pray.
Amen. Amen.
In the preparation I went through, I started preparing for peace. And I'm not going to let you turn. I'm just going to zip through these kind of quick. Proverbs 3. 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Job 5, 19 and 27. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it and know thou it for thy good. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. As through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. That's probably the most important word that was in that whole episode there is do. Because we have a lot of head knowledge, things that are in our heads and just things that we know, but unless we do it, it really isn't being activated. It's kind of like if you're studying fitness, if you're studying exercise, you can't get your body fit if you're studying out of a book. You've got to do it to make yourself ready. It's where the rubber meets the road. The thing with my mind, when I have a thought that comes into my head that I know is not of the Lord, I have to resist it, tell the enemy to shut up, attack it with the word, and then move on from there. If you don't do that, if I don't do that, then all day long it's going to be like Woody Woodpecker up on my head, not me, all the time. And it's just continual fight, fight, fight. And the thing, to be honest with you, it wears me out. I'm worn out in these periods of time. But since I've been working on this, it's been much, much better. I need to free my mind of wandering thoughts, unbelief, guilt, regret, fears, whatever the enemy tries to have me entertain. And for me, I need to make sure that I shut the enemy up. It is written, prepare my weapons, think on these things, rehearse the word, feed the word to myself. Feeding the good in me, starving the bad, pulling off the suckers and the time wasters, putting on the whole armor of God. Prayer, praise, worship, all these things strengthen your mind when they're in practice. And it is a battle. And the thing is, it only gets better if you do this. I can't leave church on Sunday, Thursday, and wherever I go, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then just, okay, well, I'm a Christian, that's it. I'm done for the week. And then coast all the way to the next time. And then maybe 15 minutes while I'm driving in the car trying to jazz up some Holy Ghost in me so that I can be a little bit inspired. I'm past that. I can't do anything but say, okay, I got to do where the Lord has me now, and try to build myself up that way. And, you know, it's a battle. It's training ground. It's, you know, the Lord building his army up. But it's kind of like from what I've taught up to this point, it's kind of like a kid when they're in a swimming pool. And when, you know, you get a little bug in the water and you move it over to the side, or you get a mosquito and you go like this. But as soon as you got a bee that's about to come and sting you, the first thing you do, you hold your breath and you go underwater. And hopefully the bee will go away. But that's the point where I am now, is getting that place. But the Lord wants me to build from there. And that requires growth on my part. It requires reading the word. It requires praise, worship, fellowship with each other. I will watch sermons on television. I'll listen to the sermons that we've had, done previously taught. Anything to build myself up. And reading the word is good. You know, for church, we all are supposed to be reading the word 3 times a year, 2 times a year. To be honest, I'm not even close. Not even close, but I do it every day. And I'm consistent. And I get that amount that I have in my mind to do, and I think, okay, that's it. And then secretly in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, gee, I can't wait till I get to the Gospels. I'm all the way over here in Ezekiel, right? And the thing is, I need to mix it up a little bit. You know, go with the standard of, you know, the discipline of reading the Word and going through the Bible. But I think for me, I'm going to start doing more variety of reading and meditate on that. The Psalms, the Proverbs, go through the Gospels and the Epistles and read over that to to saturate me. So it's like I'm getting my vitamins with reading the rest of the Word, but I'm getting my, my fluids, my electrolytes from meditation on the other parts of the Bible. And so it'll feed me, it'll make me stronger, and also it'll give me the energy I need to do the things I need to do, like go through all the other historical parts of the Bible that I is necessary as well. The missing link here for me is, yeah, I was the kid in the swimming pool that every time I'd get a negative thought or a horrible feeling, I would dunk in the pool until the bee goes away. But now I'm going to the next part. I need to start meditating on the Word. It doesn't do as much good to just pray and give the Lord the petitions. The Lord wants us to make sure that we are saturated with His presence. And if that's a hard thing for you to do, the thing is just to read His Word and let His Word become alive in you. Even if you have to go over and over and over and over in your head to get the Word inside you, that's what feeds you. Amen. Because the Lord is the Word. Yeah. He said, and the Word was God. Mm-hmm. So why aren't we in the Word 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? The Word is God. This is our nutrition. We should be eating this a little bit more often and not get so stale that we're stuck here in Samuel. I mean, I love the rest of the books of the Bible, but as far as me, I'm going to do those things, and then I'm going to go to the other parts so that I can get more liquid in my diet, let's say.
A variety in your diet.
I need a variety. I need a balanced diet. Mm-hmm. I'll just start reading right here. Reading the Word as an obligatory chore is great, but it's missing the romance of exploring the various facets of the Word. I've caught myself thinking, I'll be glad when I get through the Old Testament so that I can get to the Gospels or the Epistles. It dawned on me that I need to make adjustments and broaden my consumption of the Word. A healthy outlook on reading the Word is essential to cultivate a good practice. The Lord doesn't want us to be, I got to go read the Word again. I mean, it's like getting a love letter from your loved one or a letter from anybody and just thinking, oh, I got to read this. Who wants that? The Lord doesn't want us to be it's like, oh, what, am I a chore? The Lord wants us to have more of a relationship with Him than what we have sometimes. Mm-hmm. Compulsive, duty, legalistic, it makes me feel forced to read, but I think the Lord would rather us study the Word enthusiastic, because I know He has a desire to have our fellowship. On a normal day, we might not think on godly things or the Word as we should. We remind ourselves to do so, but when it gets down to it, the Lord would rather us naturally think on these things. Our transformation takes place when we are thinking about godly things automatically. When you first start out, you might need to discipline yourself to think on godly thoughts. But there comes a time when it should be on a regular basis. I train myself to think godly thoughts, combat stress, anxiety, fears, depression, sadness, darkness, shut up the enemy. It is written, think on these things, feed the good, starve the bad, and eliminate the suckers. And that's a good fix for me. It's a good mode of operation. I've got to do that. And every time I do it, I get stronger. The attacks are less frequent. The things that come in my head, the fears, the doubts, the concerns. When I start quoting the word and resist the devil and draw near to God and the devil flees, he does. He goes away. Now, if I was to just keep shutting it out and say, oh, there's that thought again, it's like the devil will keep coming and persistently nag you. But when it's confronted, it stops. And it's better because it's less frequently. I have more times of peace and less times of struggle, less times of battling this battle that I have in my mind. I have a plan to use, and that's the plan I'm using right now. And if I don't press on from here, I'm going to be like the little kid in the swimming pool, continually ducking and hiding myself and getting up and having just a temporary fix. So my challenge to myself is to press on from here. We'll skip the lesson for right now. I've had times where I have a hard time getting out of bed. I have a hard time getting off the couch. I have a hard time moving from the living room to the kitchen, and I force myself to go outside and do chores. And it's been from that point, and gradually I'll progress. Like at the end of the day, I start making notes. I did a load of laundry today. I folded the laundry today. I put the laundry away today. The next day, I went to the store. The next day, I mowed half of the front yard. The next day, I mowed the other half of the front yard. And I have to celebrate the various things and tasks that I do. So I say, I'm making progress. The Lord is working in me.
Amen.
And I say, I haven't been flopped out on the couch for the last hour. And I'm embarrassed to say that. I'm ashamed to say that. But, you know, that's how we get better. It's not like you can really progress on in the Lord if you act like, you know, you're beautiful, you smell good. Right? I mean, I'd be full of pride. I'd be a phony. I'd be a hypocrite if I was to come to church and pretend that everything was fine. But I think the Lord would rather us get in the mud, get dirty, and try to fight like the Dickens to get above ground and keep your head up.
Amen.
Than to fake it.
Yeah.
You can't fake it. And I've stopped faking it. I can't get up here. I can't even lead worship because of the progress I'm making. At least I can sing now. I got to a point where I couldn't sing, nothing would come out. And now I can sing. And I'll move to leading the worship and being a little bit better, more of a helper, because I'm not a helper. And I thought, Lord, do you want me to stop playing music? I'll do it. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe that's the enemy wanting me to stop. Maybe the Lord wants me to push through it and get to it, because I haven't been, since I've stopped, I don't move on to the place where we move into the worship and then we cut loose and we really worship the Lord. I haven't done that myself. And I'm thinking, that's why I'm drying up inside.
Yeah.
We all need to have more worship together at home and corporately. Of course, singing and everything. There's a lot of times people will think singing the songs is worship. And it is sometime, but I'm going to tell you, I can tell the people that sit there and read the words and their lips are going, that you're not singing. You're listening to everybody else but me singing. You know, it's like you're faking it. Okay, you don't fool me. A faker can spot a faker. It's like, when in the world are we going to just rip open the gate and say, here I am, I'm going to worship the Lord tonight, you know? I mean, Justin cranked up the volume. I'm thinking, there's not going to be any volume on my side. I'm glad he cranked it up on him. But when you don't got it, you don't got it.
Yeah, that's true.
The Lord would rather us build and grow and develop and build our muscles so that we can be stronger and we can be better. It's not going to work any other way. Open the book. Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. As you can tell, I had my message prepared. It's typed. But on the way out the door, I was doing various chores, and I didn't have a chance to really go through it. So I hate reading. It's like reading my dialogue. It's like, you're cheating. But I'm sorry. It wasn't going to come off the top of my head. I didn't have it memorized. But anyway, I do have it prepared. But Ephesians 4 and verse 14. Is everybody there?
Yes.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's the process of growing up right there. We'll keep it going. We're on 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Yes, I've been to that place before. We'll get back there in a minute. To that verse, not to that state of mind, though. Who, being past feelings, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's kind of harsh, Lord. But ye have not so learned Christ. Thank you. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, concerning last verse, concerning ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. See, this is the whole process we're in right now, is the process of taking off the old man and putting on the new. You know, you're really not going to know what fruit tastes like unless it gets squeezed. So I'm totally squeezed, and there's either no juice or sour juice, or it's just pithy. So right now I'm trying to trying to get through my pithy stage. Vanity of your mind. See, I'm trying to get my mind disciplined so that it can focus and so that I can do like I'm supposed to do, not entertain the things I'm not supposed to entertain. Your understanding darkened. I tell you, when it comes to this, yeah, sometimes you feel dark. I told you, I visited a church with my husband, and the whole time I wasn't there to connect with the Lord. I was there looking, say, you know, pointing out people and say, well, I'm fake. And I get mad at myself. I said, no, that's being so judgmental. But you can tell when you go to a place, the people who are really engaged and the people who are there attending to do their obligation And the people there that want to go out and try to recruit you, you know, here, sign up for our group, you know. And I have my guard up. I'm very guarded that way. And yeah, I confessed to that, and I haven't done that since. But I'm just giving you an example. When it gets down to up to verse 18, and they're talking about their mind being darkened from entertaining wrong things and doing things that are not godly, it said that because of their blindness of their heart, is I better go up this way a little bit. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, it's bad to be in a dark place where you don't feel like you've got any connection with the Lord. I have this a routine that I do, you know, where I'll pray and I'll focus on the Lord for 8 minutes, and I'll just be silent and I'll just focus on the Lord Jesus so that I can feel His presence in me. And then after I do that, then I'll pray and I'll tell Him, you know, what kind of things I have on my heart, you know, petitions, you know, God bless this person, and God bless this person, and help me with this and that and the other. And then I'll go back and have another time of just focusing on the Lord and just entering into His presence. And then I would read the Word then too. But it got to the point where, you know, I need to stagger this out. You don't wait till you're jumping in bed and you have to do all these things, because it's not really going to benefit you because it's fatiguing. So I thought, okay, I need to do this, you know, read in the morning or start reading early in the evening. You say, my goodness, I'm retired. I should be doing this all day long. But I'm not. But anyway, I'm awakening to the thought that I do need to be more disciplined in that area. The thing that struck me is the blindness. In the margin, it says your hardness. You know, I went to kayaking with Michelle Brewer a few weeks ago, and sometimes you just get so numb to people, so numb to do things. We were having a great time, but I realized that I wasn't really being engaged. It's like I wasn't really having a good time. It was fun, but I felt like myself like I was in a shell. And it was hard, and I felt bad. And afterwards I said, Michelle, I'm sorry. I must be such bad company. You probably don't want me to go with you again. And she says, oh, no. And she was very nice. But recognizing that and thinking I'm pushing through this blind spot or this hard spot so that I can be more human, I mean, that's the process I need to grow and develop in the Lord. It's not pretty, but somebody's got to do it. Yeah. But anyway, I'm changing from being a cold-hearted person to trying to have a little bit more life in me. And, you know, it talked about all these things about the lasciviousness and the uncleanness and the greediness. You know, all that to me, when I read that, it spoke to me as just working for myself, doing my own interests, not really having the Lord's interest in mind. Let's turn to James, please. It's James 1. Through six. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, bringing all those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being diligent with it and being patient with it causes me to grow. And it means that the fight is a little less, I don't have to do it as much because of just being on top of doing it and being patient with it and say, okay, Lord, and follow through. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth liberally to liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I think I went. Okay, one more. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, that's one thing I want for myself, is to not be double-minded. Because when you are double-minded, it's like you don't have a good foundation on anything. It's like you don't feel confident in yourself. People don't feel confident in you. The Lord even says you're unstable in all your ways. What's he going to do with us if we're going to be unstable like that? It's just not good. That verse at first glance doesn't apply to me, and I could gloss over its meaning. Temptations, me, I'm not going to rob a bank, I'm not going to carouse, I'm not going to steal catsup packets or napkins. But the full meaning of the verse is being missed out. It says, count it all joy. If the Lord didn't love me, he wouldn't have me going through this process. I should be joyful, even if I can't feel the joy. The joy's not there. But I know if the Lord didn't care about me, I would be wandering around like my dog in the yard. I'd just be in the yard, come inside, Stan can feed me and pet me on the head and send me back out. But that's not what the Lord wants us to do. I'm trying to build up my strength here. The temptations are entertaining, worrisome thoughts. When it says fall into diverse temptations, that's when the thoughts come in your mind and start pestering you to do things. Or not do things, but entertain fears and anxieties and such. Tendencies rather than enacting a plan. I have got to enact the plan. Would resist the devil, tell the devil to shut up, use the word, and then go on and develop from there. I rather doubt that this verse was exactly excluded to ungodly people. It is for our use and training. Pride would say, this isn't me, diverse temptations. Well, you know, I'm a Christian. But surprise, it could be some of y'all as well as me. Mm-hmm. Did you know meditate is found in the Bible 101 times? And I think this is the missing link. It's not really missing, but this is the next phase of my progress, is meditation. Mm-hmm. Meditation is a close or continued thought, serious contemplative reflection, musing, the turning or receiving of a subject in the mind, thought without regard to kind. Well, anyway, I didn't like that. I shouldn't have that part on there. Meditation is, another part of meditation is to murmur, to have a deep tone, to meditate, sigh, moaning, and murmur the dull sound of a harp, hence meditation. I don't think I really get into that kind of thing, but I remember picking my mom up or us going somewhere, and she would be talking, and I was looking. I think, was she all right? She's driving and I'm in the passenger seat. But she communed with the Lord. She meditated when we drove places. She meditated when we were watching TV or something like that. So if you don't know my mom, like I know my mom, if you used to see her talking a little bit. She was communing with the Lord. Because, you know, we kind of talked about that a little bit as we were driving. What are you doing? Praying! Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." This next phase here, I'm looking forward to having good success. I'm looking forward to enacting meditation as a part of my discipline of walking with the Lord. I was never a good basketball player. I was athletic. I could run. I could, outmaneuver and things like that. And, you know, I can shoot some, you know, guard people. But when it comes time, I wasn't that good. So I had all the components that I needed. I was in good shape and I knew the basic parts of the game. But the girls that were much better at it, what they did is they took the plan, all those various plays that the coach taught us, and they went home. And they would practice at home with their brothers. So when they came back to practice the next day, I mean, they were just going like crazy. Me, I'd go to practice after school, I'd go home. I'd go to practice at school and go back home. But the way it separates the really good folks from the people who are just mediocre is the ones that went home and practiced it diligently. They got involved with each other on another circumstance besides just the regular time. I don't do that. You know? Well, I played softball. That was a little bit different. But, like, these guys, they had every plan. You know, number one, number two, number seven. They had it all down. Me, you know, I had to pull the notes out of my pocket and read it. I just didn't know. So I gave up and played softball. It's the same way if we attend practice only on Sundays, Tuesdays, or Thursdays. We are not fully developing as Christians unless we put it into action what we've learned. We will not be ready for game day if we only show up for practice.
Right.
We might just be on the bench. Psalm 4:4 says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune in your own heart upon your bed and be still." These are the types, these are the places meditation is mentioned in scriptures. Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." 1 Timothy 4:15, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Genesis 24:63, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide." That was the evening time. "And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming." You know what? You don't know what the Lord's going to show us when we get into a place where we meditate with the Lord. I don't think I'm going to see camels coming, but that'd be fine with me. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." You know, we don't just have a box sitting up here on our shoulders. And it's not a box full of rocks or marbles. We should have something going on, even if it's a song. Or a little hymn. You know, the verse that I use a lot is speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And, you know, I've always thought about that, you know, like coming here and killy, 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 or singing to each other. It's not to it. It's singing to yourself. "Break forth into joy, oh my soul." And if that's, when I get tired of that one, go on to the next one. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And then another one. But it needs to be churned up inside you. That's part of the meditation process as well, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Yeah. I don't think me saying Kelly, Kelly, Kelly or something like that to you all is going to benefit like you're singing to yourself. That's going to be uplifting and give you growth and knock off the dirt and the sin and the iniquity and the things like that so that it can make you more a better servant of the Lord. It makes you better to work with when that area is clean. Turn to Psalm 63, please. Verse 1. Oh, okay, no problem. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in thy sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Let's go to 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. It's time for me to wrap it up. But I do want to tell you that there's different ways to meditate. We can meditate on our bed. We can meditate in the evening time walking around. We can meditate at any time. And that's the practice I would encourage all of us to do, is to practice meditating. Start with 5 minutes and see if you can build it up. Start in the morning and then do it in the evening. Do it a little bit time every day. But that would be my plan. Thank you. Amen.